of Bhagavad Gita.
The perfection of renunciation. And we'll read text 65 and 66. First of all, you can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first of all, chapter 18, verse 65. Lord Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Translation. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. So I'll read the purport by our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. That is his picture right on the end there on your far right. Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness from India. Took it all over the world. That was 1965. He began that. And in 1975, he came here to South Africa, to Durban, October 1975. So Srila Prabhupada says, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms, as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So I'll just repeat that verse. Manmana Bhavamat Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosi Me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. So let's just say a few words about this verse. Om Jnana Tumalandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshvara Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many people wonder, what is the most we can get out of religion? This is why people convert. There's a sort of competitive atmosphere in the air to some degree. Just like you are driving a certain type of motor car and you drive it for some time, but if it lets you down, if you find that this motor car is unreliable, it breaks down, they fix it, it breaks down, they fix it breaks down, so much trouble, then what happens? You convert, don't you? From a Toyota person, you convert to become a Nissan person or something, isn't it? These things are going on. These things are going on. With everything, actually. You're wearing a certain type of clothes made by a certain person, but if they don't fit so well, if they tear easily and like that, you'll go elsewhere. Yes, you are buying from some supermarket. But if you find that you get a better deal elsewhere, you're shopping at Checkers, but if you see they have a better deal at Pick and Pay, then you convert, isn't it? And you go over to Pick and Pay. This is how it works. You're working at a certain job. You get a better offer somewhere else. So you go there. You convert, sort of, so to speak. You convert. So similarly, people are applying the same ideas to religion. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Where can I get the most, the best deal? And therefore it happens. You know, we all know many, many Hindu people over the last maybe 30 years or so, something like that, many of them have converted to Christianity. Why? Because they thought they were going to get a better deal. Whether they did or not, well, that's another thing. But they were told that. They thought that. Look at me. I was brought up a Christian. How's that? Yes. Obviously, I'm from a Christian background. I was brought up an Anglican. I went to a private Anglican school from the age of 5. We start school in New Zealand, where I'm from, at 5, all the way up to 17 when I left school, got the equivalent of matric, private Anglican school, every single day, Monday to Friday, every day without exception. We went to the chapel. We had a service for half an hour. So you are looking at an experienced Christian here. I'm not joking at all. I'm completely serious. Now, I'm not trying to put it down or put anything down, but here I am now speaking to you from Bhagavad Gita. So obviously that says something in itself. Even if I didn't say anything, just the fact that I'm here would say something. Yeah. Well, frankly, just being completely frank and open with you, I felt I would get a better deal here in the Hare Krishna movement. And as far as I'm concerned, I did. That's why I'm still here after 30 years. And, you know, I suppose that if somehow or other I became convinced that there was a better deal elsewhere, I suppose I'd go there. But, you know, in all honesty, I've looked around. I know a bit about these things. And this is where the best deal is as far as I'm concerned. So you're in the right place. You're all in the right place right now. So this idea there, though, this idea is there. Where will I get a better deal? You know, I have actually heard with my own ears somebody telling one of his friends that I converted to religion X, whatever, and before that I was having a hard time and my car was breaking down, my wife was hitting me, and other tragedies. And but then I converted. Ah, and I got a better car. And my wife would suddenly stand to attention, and when I would walk in, or maybe not quite that much, but at least she stopped hitting me. And she treated me like a decent human being. So I'm glad I converted. Now my question here is not necessarily to go through all the different religions and try and compare them in these terms. But my point is, we should try to understand, what can we get from religion? What should we be trying to get? What should we be trying to get from religion? Now, we all know that different people have different expectations from religion. The Christians, I used to say the prayer every single day, every day. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And there's one line, famous line, one of my favorites. Give us this day our daily bread. Have you heard that one? Yes. Give us this day our daily bread. God has a big bakery in the sky, and if we ask him nicely, we will get a free loaf. And we will not have to pay money for it. Look at that. How's that? Save a couple of rands. Thank you, God. So, in other words, God, in effect, God becomes a substitute for, you know, like 2 rands, isn't it? Instead of paying 2 rands to get your loaf of bread, you just ask God. Or I've had, on a number of occasions, people come to me as a Swami, and they tell me, Swami, I've got headache, bad headache. Can you pray for me? So I tell them, look, you know, I also get headaches sometimes. I'm not a superhuman. I don't know what you expect of me, but I get headaches. And you know what I do? I take Disprin. Now, I'm not pulling your leg here. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone. I'm just telling you a fact. When I get a headache, I take Disprin. So it came to the point, you know. At the beginning, I used to tell people, okay, yes, I'll pray for you. But then I knew that when I get a headache, I take Disprin. So after a while, it came to the point I just told them, look, you know, I'll just be completely honest with you. When I get a headache, I take Disprin. So why don't you try it? So in this case, they're praying to God, please cure me from my headache. God becomes a substitute for Disprin. How's that? No joking. You think about it. God has become a substitute for Disprin. So is this what we want from God? Is this what we can get from God? Relief from our headache? And then if we get it, then we feel that, yes, I got God's mercy. I am now successful in my religion. What can we get from religion? What should we be trying to get from religion? What is obtainable? Well, a lot more than disprin, and a lot more than a free loaf of bread. Yes, here in this verse, Krishna tells Arjuna that if you do these things, think of me and serve me and so on, if you do these things, then Krishna says in Sanskrit, Mam Avaishyasi. That means, you will come to me. You will come to me. And then what does he say? Satyam. Satyam. You all know what that means, don't you? Krishna is insisting. This is the truth. This is the truth. You hear what I say. You believe what I say. Satyam. It's the truth. And pratijane, next thing he says, pratijane, I promise you this. So much emphasis he's giving. Satyam, pratijane, I promise, it's the truth. Priyosime, because if you serve me, and think of me, and glorify me, like these different activities, then priyosi me, then you will become very dear to me. And when you become dear to me, to Krishna, oh, he can give you so much. That is what you can get from religion, what God can give you. He can give you so much. So what do we want from religion? What can we get? What should we want? If we, you know, if we're a little intelligent to think about it, what is available for us to get if we are aware of it and, you know, if we go for that? So, what can we get? You know, there's one great problem in religion, and I've referred to it already, is that because people don't know what they can get or what they need and what will really help them, which they can get from God. Therefore, they ask God for the wrong things, like, you know, to become a substitute for disprin, etc. There's an interesting little story our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, told, that there was one lady in India, and she was a very poor, working-class type of lady, and every day she would go into the forest and collect wood, just broken branches and things, and then pile them up on her head, carry them out, and go to the marketplace and sell the wood and make a living. This was her life. So one day, as usual, she went out into the forest. There she was, picking up the wood. She got a little more enthusiastic. She picked up extra wood, more wood. Now she's carrying out a bigger load, and it took longer. She was collecting more. It took longer. Now it's getting a little late. It's getting a little dark. She's carrying more wood. It's a little difficult. So what happened? She tripped. She fell over. As it was getting a little dark and she was struggling to carry this extra weight, she fell over. And the wood went all over the ground, and she was already tired, and now she was hurt, lying on the ground there. And she thought, oh no, look at this. And she just spontaneously called out, oh Krishna, help me. And you know what happened? Not that it always happens. Well, in a sense it does, but you may not know. But this time it really happened. Krishna appeared right in front of her. How's that? And Krishna said, yes, all right, you called, what can I do for you? So this lady, you know, she wasn't really expecting that Krishna would just step out, okay, you called, here I am. So she's taken aback a bit and trying to order her thoughts. And so she thought, oh, yes, what would I like? Could you please pick up the wood and put it back on my head? So Krishna did that. He picked the wood up, very kind of him, put it on her head. She went out, sold the wood, made a little more money even, and her life continued. But just consider, there was Krishna right in front of her. She could have asked for anything. You know, she could have asked that, will you just give me so enough money, plenty of money, so I'll never have to work again this life. Because Krishna said, okay, what do you want? Here I am, just tell me. She could have asked for that. Give me 10 times more money than I'll ever need for living very nicely this whole life. Give me that. Krishna would have given it to her. Let me become the queen of the whole planet. Krishna could have given that. He was offering, okay, what do you want? Just tell me. But she didn't know. She couldn't think. She didn't understand what I can get. What would be something better? And certainly not, what is the best thing I can get? So she asked for that. She asked for that. What a waste of time. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making reference to the fact that when Krishna says that you will come to me, he means that you will go to his place in the kingdom of God. Yes. Now what is that like? Well, life there is very different from life in Newlands West, or even life in Westville, or Hollywood, Beverly Hills, or, you know, even if you're Bill Gates. Life there is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. In the personal company of God, Prabhupada said, face to face with the Supreme Lord. This is what one can get. This is what one can get. But people are thinking, I will pray to God. Just think about people you know, maybe even yourselves. But I will pray to God. Let me get a better job. Let me cure my sickness. Isn't it? People pray for these things. This is extremely common. Let me get a better motor car. Let me get a new wife. Well, maybe we shouldn't say that, but I think some people do pray for that. In other words, people pray. Generally, people are thinking something like this, that God is there, religion is there. What can I get from God? What can I get from religion? I want things which will just help me to live more comfortably now in this lifetime. Generally, people are thinking like that. I'll pray to God to get more money so I can live more comfortably, eat better, get a better house, things like this, dress better. This is what I can get from God. This is what I can get from religion. But these are very petty things. I will pray to God so that I can eat better. This is very petty. You can get so much more. Eternal life, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. You can get so much more from God. Just consider this matter of eating. Give us this day our daily bread, or praying, you know, that I get enough to eat, I get more to eat. Just consider. Actually, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he pointed out the fact that Krishna is already providing food for everyone. You don't really need to pray for that. And Prabhupada gave a very good example that there are the elephants. They need to eat a lot. Did you ever see a skinny elephant? Did you ever hear of an undernourished elephant with malnutrition? He has to go to the doctor or join the queue for our food for life. No, you never heard of a skinny elephant, because I don't think there are any skinny elephants. And they eat, I don't know how much they eat, but I'm sure they eat at least as much as 10 of us put together or more, I'm sure. 20 of us maybe. So, but at the same time, did you ever see an elephant queuing up at the factory to get in to work so he could earn money to get his food? Did you ever see that at your factory? Monday morning, there's an elephant there at the head of the queue. He wants some rands so he can go to the Pick and Pay. But then again, on another hand, did you ever see an elephant at the local temple? Do we have any elephants here tonight come to pray? Or at the church, or at the mosque on Friday afternoon? Did you ever see any elephants there praying to God? No, because there's never been one. Why? Because Krishna is already providing them with their food. He is ready to supply everyone, all living entities. It just goes without saying. That is not a big thing. Just like many of you are parents, most of you are parents. So you know, you have your children. Does any child in any decent family ever have to ask his or her mother, "Mummy, will you feed us today?" Does any child have to ask that? Maybe if it's some totally poverty-stricken family, but not in any normal family. No, never in their life. They'll never once have to ask, "Are you going to feed me today, or will I have to go hungry today?" No, it's just taken for granted. There may be many things they may have to ask for. They may or may not get. But to eat, to have a roof over their heads, clothes on their bodies, it's not that they have to ask, "Can I sleep in the house tonight? Is it okay?" No, it's just taken for granted. So Krishna, God, all these basic fundamental necessities, they will come. If they're coming for the elephants and the ants and everything in between, why will they not come to a human being, particularly a religious human being, who is actually praying to God, actually trying to glorify God and worship God? How can there be any doubt? There's no doubt. But, unfortunately, we misunderstand, and we think that we must pray for these things, and this is what religion is about. Religion means, I pray to God to get food. That is my religion. I pray to God to get money. No, we can get much more. Those things will come in due course anyway, by His grace. He is already arranging that. But what we can get from him, which is actually a big thing to get, not just for the few years that we're living in this body, living here in Newlands, 70 years, 60 years, 80 years, something, our life expectancy. Not just so we can live comfortably for a few years before we die, but we get these things gone, gone. No health problems, no old age, no death. In the personal company of God, Krishna says, Prabhupada said here himself, face to face with God. Yes. This is the perfection of life. The perfection of life is not to become Bill Gates number two. In other words, get lots of money. That is not actually the goal of life. The goal of life is not simply even to just become happy in just everyday terms in our everyday life. That is not the goal of life. And that is not the best thing that we can get from God. So we should think like this. You know, if Bill Gates, if having lots of money was really so helpful and nice, Bill Gates would be a lot happier. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen pictures of him, but have you ever seen a picture of Bill Gates smiling? I don't recall it. Many rich people are not happy at all. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, gave a very nice example to illustrate the fact that if we simply increase our material possessions, like our bank balance, that does not mean that our happiness will increase proportionately. In other words, you know, if you have 1,000 rands and he has 100,000 rands, some people might say, well, he with his 100,000, he is 100 times happier. There's some proportionate relationship. But if we think that this is the case, this is like saying that if she has 3 rotis, would that be enough? 3 rotis, okay. And he has 300 rotis. He will be 100 times happier at the end of his meal. What do you think? If he eats 300 rotis, is he going to be 100 times happier than her with 3? No, he's going to be sick, isn't he? He may be dead. I don't know what the world record is, but I wouldn't expect it to be as much as 300. Yes. So, this is the idea in people's minds. We must get more. And as we get more, we will get more happiness. If that was true, we'd expect to see Bill Gates or, you know, Queen Elizabeth of England just in ecstasy, just running around wildly happy. But they're not. They're not at all. Yes, so instead of praying to God for bread, for money, for food, for health, this and that, ordinary material things, we should understand, we should try to approach him in order to gain that best thing, which is not available elsewhere, which solves all the problems, all of them, completely solved. Eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge, in his company, face to face. Yes. This is what we can get from God. And how to get it? How to get it? What is the process for approaching him so that he'll feel inclined to give it? Well, that is what Krishna is saying here. Manmana, you think of me. We are thinking of so many things, aren't we? only normal everyday things. What's on TV tonight? When can I get out of the factory and go home? So we are thinking of so many things, ordinary things, but Krishna says, Manmana, you think of me. We should think of God. And then we connect with him. Bhava mad bhakto. You should become my devotee. In other words, we should serve him. We're serving the boss, so we get money. We're serving the government, we pay our taxes. We serve our family, we provide them with necessities. We are serving. But these masters who we're serving, they're not very good masters. Do you enjoy serving the government by paying them tax? Do you enjoy that? Is it so nice paying the government tax that you'd like to pay more? No, everyone tries to get away with the minimum. Do you like serving the boss so much that you don't mind if he doesn't pay you? It's just so nice. No, it's not like that. But Krishna, we serve Krishna, we'll become fully satisfied, completely satisfied in all respects. Madhyaji, Krishna says, you worship me. We worship, I know in the Indian community it's particularly the movie stars, isn't it? Kuch kuch hota hai? Ho sakta hai? Ha ha. Yes. Who is it now? Raji Kapoor? I don't know if Amita Bachchan is still around. Madhuri Dixit? Oh, you woke up now, didn't you? So we worship these people. You know, in my younger days, we worshipped the Beatles. Oh, completely sold out devotees. I remember when Amitabh Bachchan, some of you might remember, he came to Chatsworth, just near our temple, the Checkers Center, across the road. The whole of Chatsworth was there. I tell you what, about 1 million people within 5 minutes. You couldn't move. Because it's Amitabh Bachchan. But what can Amitabh Bachchan do for you? What can he do for himself? Put it that way. You know, in a little while he'll die. Actually, he's very nice. He's a friend of our movement. But in a little while he'll die. So what's the big deal? What's the big thing? But we worship Krishna. Even now, we're worshipping him today. He appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. Still on his birthday, hundreds, thousands, millions of people come together. Because he is worth worshipping. He is actually worthy of being worshipped. He can help you. And Mam Namaskuru, Krishna says, you should offer your namaskars. You should glorify me. You should praise me. You should chant my names. Yes. So instead of singing some ordinary song, some movie song, you know, the theme song to Chori Chori Chupke Chupke. Do you know that one? You'd be surprised what we pick up as we move around. So, you know, you try singing that song, that Chori Chori Chupke Chupke, quietly sneaking around, and see what you get out of it. But you chant Hare Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna. You know, I'll conclude, other than a few questions, I'll conclude by just telling you a little story, a little experience I had with George Harrison. You heard of George Harrison, right? From the Beatles. He's big time musician. So, He was a friend of our movement. He was a devotee to some degree. So one time, long time ago, I was speaking to him, and he told us how he got into chanting Hare Krishna. One day, it's a long story, but basically, he and John Lennon, they had already been to India. They knew a little bit about Hare Krishna. They'd done some meditation. One morning, they just started singing Hare Krishna. They carried on for 22 hours, non-stop. They just got into it so much. No one was telling them, go on, more, sing more. They just got into it. So I asked him, what would it have been like if you had sung one of your Beatles songs for 22 hours? Like, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Have you heard of that one? Are you up with these things? Well, he laughed. George Harrison laughed. And thought for like 1 or 2 seconds. He said, well, I think it would have been a hard day's night. If you get the idea behind that. In other words, this material sound vibration, material glorification, it doesn't give you what this transcendental spiritual sound, the names of God, what they can give you if you get into it. You've got to get into it, of course. Don't just say Hare Krishna and expect, you know, the sky to open up and everything to become perfect. But if you apply yourself, what you can get from it is so much more. So let us, our point is, let us think. Let us try to be a little intelligent. God is so great. He can give us so much. So let's not ask him just for a loaf of bread. Let us apply what Krishna is saying here. Cultivate thinking about him. Cultivate serving him, worshipping him, glorifying him, chanting his holy names. And then Krishna says, you'll come to me for eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. And in the meantime, you'll be very happy. In the meantime, you'll be very happy dancing and chanting, glorifying Krishna. Very nice. So, please, try and do like that. We have a couple of questions here. I'll just briefly answer one or two, and then we'll carry on with the program. Okay. How can young people who are not fully aware of the Hare Krishna movement attain Krishna consciousness? How can young people attain Krishna consciousness? This is a good question. You know, young people often think that religion is for old fuddy-duddies. Right? That's what I thought when I was young. This religion business, it's a bit of a joke. So when we're presenting Krishna consciousness to young people, to any people, we have to consider how to do it in ways that they can relate to. Again, back to George Harrison. I was there one time in England. I joined our movement in England. George Harrison met with Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of 1973 and told Srila Prabhupada, I want to come and live in the temple and shave my head and wear the tilak like what we have on the forehead, wear the robes and become a monk. He asked Prabhupada. He said, I want to do this. Can I do this? Prabhupada said, no, don't do this. You just carry on with your music, but present Krishna through the music. The next song that he put out was My Sweet Lord, if you're familiar with that. Influenced millions of people to become Krishna conscious. So, you know, for young people, we should try and present religion in ways that they can relate to, like that. You know, like that sort of pop music style and so on. Then they can get into it. I'll just answer one more question, then we'll carry on. Here's a slightly controversial question. Are we allowed to donate our organs when we die? Well, I can see some of you sitting there already thinking, yeah, sure, why not? Well, you know, traditionally, bodies are burnt. You know that, cremation. This is the Vedic system. In India, you won't find people being buried. I've never seen it myself. Only cremation. This is the system. So now, what about donating your organs? Just consider. You donate your organs. Just consider it this way. Some drunk comes up to you on the street and asks you for, you know, it's probably gone up from 20 cents, but he asks you for a couple of rands to buy a loaf of bread. So, you know, you may think, ah, okay, let him buy a loaf of bread. You know what he does with a loaf of bread? He sort of sieves his methylated spirits through the loaf of bread. So now you have control, or maybe he just goes and buys a bottle of liquor. So now you have provided him with a bottle of liquor with which he'll just further destroy himself or further degrade himself. So you have degraded him. Even though you meant well to help this poor fellow, but you actually directly were the cause of his becoming degraded. Yeah. So we should think. That's why we don't give people like that money. We give them prasadam. We have our food for life program. We feed them. That helps them. Spiritual food also. Now, you donate your organs to someone. So it depends who the person is. You know, if someone has been drinking so much that their liver has now fallen to pieces, so you die and your liver is donated to that person, now he can go on drinking again. Great. So it's your liver. So it's your fault. It's your fault. So, you know, we would say, rather than get into all the intricacies of, you know, what sort of person is going to get my kidneys, who's going to get my heart, or whatever it is, we say, just have the body cremated. You know, just keep it simple and have the body cremated. Don't worry so much about these things. Yeah, because you never know. You might become responsible for some person perpetuating their degraded existence. Yes, that's not such a good idea. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you all for listening very patiently. And now we'll hand you back over to the MC. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.